Rico.
And I'm Jessica.
And this is the Always the Critic podcast, where a couple of friends review the latest movies, except we literally have zero qualifications to do so. Jessica, maybe not exactly the latest movies in terms of like this past weekend, but definitely movies that have hit in the last few weeks since we recorded last.
So look, should we change our intro or something? Because we have been a little bit embarrassed to be so late and belated.
Yes.
And just have life kind of get in the way. And lo and behold, it's been several weeks since we recorded last. And we have, I mean, we've been watching movies and we're going to talk about movies. And this is just going to be a catch up of sorts.
Yeah.
But as far as like staying on top of the movies, and it, come on, it's January, February. Like,
it's garbage time in movies.
It's not that great.
No, it's not. I saw a few movies. And one of them that I didn't even mention, I don't remember if I saw it, or I'm sorry, if I mentioned it in the last podcast, it's been so long, but I saw like The Beekeeper with Jason Statham.
Look, I had a great, okay, so I saw The Beekeeper as well. Bro, I had a fantastic time. Don't even slander it. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's fine.
A secret Boston movie. Secretly, yes, it's a Boston movie.
Yes, yes.
You know what I wish? This is the only thing I'll say. I wish they would have had a little more fun with the puns and stuff regarding bees. Like, if you're going to call something.
You wanted more bee puns.
Yes. Like, if you're going to call, like, this secret society the beekeepers, like, have, like, more fun with it, you know? That's the only thing. Everything else was pretty good, like Statham, the understated, but then he's kicking ass and everything. Like, fun times.
I had a great time with it. We were hooting and hollering. You could not contain us in the theater. It was a fantastic experience. 10 out of 10 would recommend. We walked out of the theater. We texted our parents. You have to go see this. It's a perfect dad movie.
Oh, yes. This is the,
oh my gosh,
one of the ultimate dad movies, for sure.
Oh, we had so much fun.
Now, we are not going to talk more about Beekeeper. We got other movies that we're going to talk about. So before we talk about those movies, if this is your first time listening, go ahead and subscribe to your favorite podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. If you like us, go ahead and give us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars goes a long way for us.
That's right. Come and check us out on social media to stay up to date on our latest episodes and reviews. And actually, if you want to talk to us as well, like, that's fine too. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at AlwaysCriticPod. And lastly, if you're a fan, please consider becoming a patron. It's a great way for you to get involved and show your support and talk to us some more if you want to. You can check out the page. I don't know why I keep saying that. You can check out the page on patreon.com/alwayscriticpod. And here we go. Shout out to our patrons, Janet Curtis, Bale, Cindy CD, Alana Grace, Lorna, Sammy, Caitlin, Michelle, Tenmei, Adia, Aaron, Marta, Delphia, and Camila. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much for being supporters of the show. We really appreciate it. So let's talk briefly about some movies that we watched here. Some of these we both watched. Some of them I watched. Some of them you watched.
Right.
So let's talk first about the movie that we both watched.
Okay, briefly.
Briefly. So this movie is Argylle. So if you would like to let us know what this movie is about real quick.
The IMDb synopsis reads, a reclusive author who writes espionage novels about a secret agent and a global spy syndicate realizes the plot of the new book she's writing starts to mirror real world events in real time.
So the movie's directed by Matthew Vaughn, the director of the Kingsman series, written by Jason Fuchs, I believe is how it's pronounced, starring Henry Cavill, Daniel Singh, Dua Lipa, Ariana DeBose, Richard E. Grant, John Cena, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Sam Rockwell. That is a weird way to put them in order.
That's just how IMDb.
IMDb. Yeah.
And Daniel Singh is armed guard numbered one. So
exactly.
Just so you know.
It's weird.
Yeah.
At the box office, it's made $37 million domestically, $77 million worldwide. How did it do with critics, Jessica?
Well, so it's got a 33% critic score and a 33% critic score and a 72% audience score, which I thought was strange. I thought they would be more evened out. Argylle, gets some mileage out of its city. I can't even talk today. Argyle gets some mileage out of its silly, energetic spin on the spy thriller, but ultimately wears out its welcome with a convoluted plot and overlong runtime. All right. What did you think of Argyle?
I think this movie is not very fun.
Okay.
Like, so,
What is your biggest thing? Like,
okay. So going into the movie, I already knew what the twist was.
You did?
The reason why I know this
is you knew it was the cat.
Oh God. No, the reason why I know what the twist was is because a couple years ago, I don't know why I remembered it, but
Did you read the script?
The headline was, "Oh, new Matthew Vaughn set to direct a new movie about a amnesia like spy thriller starring Bryce Dallas Howard."
Oh my God. So they gave it away.
They gave it away when they released like the actual info about Matthew Bond's making a new movie. Mm-hmm. It's about it as whatever the titling is.
Right. Like whatever EW or Deadline article.
Right.
Two years ago.
So
they spoiled it.
They spoiled it a couple of years ago. The movie itself, obviously, it's mimicking some of Kingsman stuff, but it's not as fun as Kingsman. Even though it's the same director, I think the movie tries to do like too many twists or red herrings, even though we already know what the main twist is. Like, it's just trying to lead us on. Overall, I was looking at my watch multiple times.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's my experience. So we were tortured by this trailer for months on end. Mm-hmm. Then the movie finally came. The reviews were pouring out saying it was terrible.
Yes.
And I was like, can't be that bad. It can't be that bad. So me and my sister pack up our shit, go to AMC, and we think it's our expectations are, I guess, up in the heavens, way higher, because we're like, it cannot be that bad as what they say. Listen, folks. Believe you me, this movie was terrible. Oh my God, it was awful. And the thing is, the first 30 minutes I thought were really entertaining. I was following along. I was going with it. I wasn't spoiled on the twist.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, it just starts going downhill. It keeps getting progressively worse and worse and worse. And how I felt by the end of the movie was just like, just take me in, officer. Like, please, like, I'll do anything. Just make it stop. I will sing like a canary. I'll turn anyone in. I'll give you any names you want. Like, just shut it off.
Yeah, it's not great.
That was my feeling. And I thought the low point of the movie was the colored smoke bomb fight.
Oh, yeah.
That is sort of in the trailer as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was the low point. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was the oil slick ice skating.
Yes. No. Oh, God.
When that happened, I think I got a little bit like I started like putting my chair up, like in the upright position. Like, I was like, look, when this movie is, God. I could not have sprinted faster out of the theater.
It's such a bad movie.
It's horrendous. So anyway, I don't really want to belabor the point.
Yeah.
We watched Argyle. We can say we did it. Let's move on.
Yes, let's go ahead and move on. So the next movie is a movie that you saw. I have not seen the movie yet, which I'm a little upset with myself that I haven't seen this movie yet. But I just haven't had the time. So what movie is that?
Okay, so I saw Anatomy of a Fall,
mm-hmm.
which is nominated for Best Picture. The IMDb synopsis reads, a woman is suspected of murder after her husband. After her husband's death, and their visually challenged son faces a moral dilemma as the main witness. So it's directed by Justine Triet. I think that's how you say her name. And it's also written by her as well as Arthur Harari.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's how you say his name. And it stars Sandra Hewler, Antoine Renartz, Rennie Beth, Samuel Face, and Milo Machado Grenier. I'm pretty sure I just like butchered all of the names. So I apologize to this cast. However, Sandra Hüller, you might recognize her from Zone of Interest, which was the last review that we did. If you scroll back in your podcast feed, box office, $4 million domestic, $28 million worldwide. You can tell that two people saw this movie. And then the Rotten Tomatoes score, 96% critic score and 89% audience score. And here's what the Critics and Census says: a smart, solidly crafted procedural that's anchored in family drama, Anatomy of a Fall finds star Sandra Hüller and director co-writer Justine Triet operating at peak power.
All right. Give us your thoughts, Jessica.
So listen, I had basically no idea what this movie was about. I just showed up, okay? And I am so happy that I saw this movie. I was nice. Really just riveted by what was happening on screen. It is a courtroom procedural, basically. Mm-hmm. But you see the inciting incident at the beginning without like the actual murder. So like you're missing the crucial piece as the audience, right?
Yeah.
You see what happens before. You see what happens like when the son enters back into the picture because the son didn't witness the murder. And then all hell like kind of breaks loose for this family. And I think it's just, it convicts you because you're like, who do you believe? Do you believe that the wife did it? Or do you believe it's just a bad marriage and he committed suicide?
Oh.
Due to his own, you know, complexes and his own insecurities, which is, you know, well documented as well.
Nice. Okay.
So, really super duper interesting. And I had no idea how the French justice system operates. But if it's anything like this movie, they need an overhaul. They need to take a hatchet to that thing because on multiple occasions, I wanted to fly at the screen and just strangle the prosecutor because he was like, when you watch the movie, you'll understand what I'm saying, that there was a lot of lines of questioning and like almost like insulting. And I understand it's a criminal case, right? Like shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
And it was a high profile case because the wife is an author.
Okay.
A famous writer. But the prosecutor, there were so many times where I was like, objection, hearsay, objection. Like, I'm like inserting the objections like myself as if I was the defense and no one was saying anything. Like, apparently the prosecutor can just say whatever the fuck he wants. So I was.
That's insane to me.
Really just taken aback by the whole process. And it's totally completely interesting.
Wow.
And it's all about power play and like the problems between two people. And if you talk about your problems with somebody, that person is going to have a skewed view of your partner. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Yes.
So then if something bad happens to you, that person can come out of nowhere and be like, oh, well, of course, X, Y, Z and this, that and the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, things start to make sense after the fact.
Right.
But you only have a small piece of this person's life.
Exactly. Okay. I'm really excited to see this movie.
It is extremely... how do I put it? It's not a typical, like, procedural. And, of course, like, the synopsis mentions the son. Because he is called in as a witness. And so his dilemma of like, did his mom do it? And like hearing all of these really crazy things in court that he had no idea about his parents' relationship.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. So and, does that skew his like testimony maybe or his
what right, he like, says? Right, like should he like, right, exactly. Like he's contemplating these. It's a big ethical moral quandary for Daniel the son, and like obviously the husband's an asshole, like no question about it, like the husband's an asshole. So it's just a lot of questions, And obviously Anatomy of a Fall, he fell, like the husband fell. Mm-hmm. Was he pushed or did he throw himself out? Like, did he, you know what I'm saying? These are questions that all come to the surface during the course of the movie. And it has to do with ego. It's got all this stuff wrapped in it because the husband wanted to be a writer, but like could never get anything down on paper, like couldn't really hack it as a writer.
Okay.
But she is so successful.
Jealousy.
So maybe there's that a big
plays a part.
Exactly. So the thing that was making the rounds on TikTok was what I think the biggest spoiler was because the husband recorded this final argument that happened between them. And for some reason, that scene has been making the rounds on TikTok. I'm like, why? That's such a big like thing. Like that's a giant part of why she was even indicted, like in the movie. Was because he recorded this knockdown drag out fight that they had, and then the next day he commits suicide or dies.
Right. And there's no clear indication as to what it is.
Because now there's motive because they were on bad terms. So it's a lot. And the things that come up and the things that say to each other, you're just like, did they even love each other? Like it's a lot. Like, I don't know. I had a very, like, the movie ended and I was just like sitting there, you know?
Yeah, of course. Man. That sounds like a very interesting movie.
It is so interesting. And I'll tell you one thing that's also interesting. What the fuck is up with people that, and this has nothing to do with the movie. This is a tangent. Oh,
okay. This is a tangent. Okay.
What the hell is up with people choosing to sit next to people in an empty theater?
Oh, this. Okay.
This has happened to me not once, not twice. 3 times now in the last like 6 months where I go to a showing of a movie that has plenty of seats. It is not a sold out showing of whatever movie it is. And I go to my seat and it's 9 times out of 10. It's a man who sits directly, like his assigned seat that he chose directly next to my seat.
No.
And this happened in Anatomy of a Fall. And I went by myself. So I showed up. This was unique, though, because he was sitting in my seat. So I show up and I go, oh, you're sitting in my seat. And he gives me his seat number. And I show him my app and I say my seat number. And he goes, he moves over one seat.
Oh, God.
And the immediate rage that I feel, it is I could flip a table at that moment. I could light the chair on fire the way that I felt. So I didn't sit in my seat. I sat, I left that chair empty and sat in the next seat.
Wow. Just so that way there's a buffer between the two of you.
It was empty. Like, there was scattered people in there.
And this person chose, I'm going to sit.
When I chose my seat, that seat was obviously not taken. What's that about? If you're listening and you're doing this, you're the devil.
Hey.
You're the devil. Stop that.
There's a lot of seats here. I'm going to choose this one right next to one that's already occupied.
In what mind? In not what mine. Mind?
I personally will leave at least a space if an empty theater. If I can
help it.
Yeah. Like, obviously, I like to sit in the middle. But if I can't get the middle and there is, space, then I will leave a space in between at least. So I'm not directly next to a person.
Oh, my gosh. I was sitting there, like, seething.
As you seething. Should be. As you should be. This person should know better. But obviously they don't.
Anyway.
So.
Next up, you're next up.
So for me, I saw the movie American Fiction. So American Fiction is a movie about a novelist who's fed up with the establishment profiting from black entertainment, uses a pen name to write a book that propels him into the heart of the hypocrisy and madness that he claims to disdain. So this movie is directed and written by Cord Jefferson. It's also written by Percival Everett. It stars Jeffrey Wright, Tracy Ellis Ross, John Ortiz, Adam Brody, Keith David, Issa Rae, Sterling K. Brown, among others. The movie so far has made $19.1 million domestically, just a little bit more to make it $20.1 worldwide. The movie, 94% critic score, 95% audience score. Jeffrey Wright and American Fiction will forever be inextricable thanks to the actor's committed approach to the pointedly humorous and insightful material. This movie is a, I want to call it a satire.
It is a satire.
Yes.
I've seen the trailer.
Yeah,
you've seen the trailer. I would call it a satire, judging from the trailer.
And I thought it was hilarious. I think that the drama in the movie works very well as well. And the way they're able to interact those two, like basically a dramedy in this movie, I thought it worked wonderfully well. Jeffrey Wright is fantastic in this lead. He is like a curmudgeon, but at the same time, he's like trying to reach out, but he hates like the way like this other writer, Issa Rae, her book is all about the struggle of a black person. And in the most stereotypical fashion of how those stories are told, he decides, I'm going to do the same thing, but under a pen name, under a stage name. And of course, the book gets picked up. Of course, it's the white editors who are like, we've never seen something so bold. And, you know, it's a fresh voice. And, you know, it's raw. And just like all these cliche words to use. When he's just making this stuff up in his head, it's like he's never lived it or anything. But he's trying to call a spotlight to it. At the same time, there's another section of the narrative of his personal life and how tough he has it with like family tragedy happening and his relationship, his strained relationship with his brother, with his sister, and even to the point with his own mom. So there is a real story that could be told if he could write it himself. But at the same time, he is an author who romanticizes like Greek mythology and he wants to be able to write stuff like that. And that's what his previous books are. You know, and when he goes to the bookstore, they're not under mythology. They're under African-American studies, you know, because it's a black author who wrote it. So, So he gets upset by that. He's like, these books are in the wrong section. They should not be here. They should be in mythology. And he's like, I don't make it. I know you don't. And so you see him like carrying all the books, trying to move it over. So, honestly, it is incredibly funny. Like, I was surprised by how much I was laughing throughout the movie, but also feeling, you know, a sense of connection with his character and how feeling empathy for him for the struggles that he's going in his personal life. So I honestly feel that this is a strong script. Don't be surprised if it's possible that it wins like best original screenplay. It's not going to win best picture. It won't win best picture, but it could sneak in there in the screenplay category by how smartly the movie is written. Also, Sterling K. Brown does no wrong. Like, that man will deliver lines. I feel like in movie.
Did Sterling K. Brown like heat check Jeffrey Wright in this?
I wouldn't say he heat checked him.
Okay.
But there are moments where Sterling K. Brown is trying to steal it. There are moments. And there is one monologue, a small monologue that Sterling K. Brown has where it's just like, damn, this guy's good.
Oh.
This guy is good. But yeah, so I honestly think that this is a movie that you should watch for sure. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. Check it out. And again, nominated for Best Picture.
Yep.
So It was a movie that I was looking forward to, and I'm glad that I saw it. Also, another Boston, Massachusetts movie, by the way. Yeah. So.
All right.
All right. Nice.
Final movie that I will talk about, because I'm the only one that's seen it, is Bob Marley, One Love. So I watched this, when did I watch this? Last Friday. 2 days after Valentine's Day, the IMDb synopsis reads the story of how reggae icon Bob Marley overcame adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music. Directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green. Written by, this many people? Terrence Winter, Frank E. Flowers, Zach Balin, Ronaldo Marcus Green, who is also the director. It stars Kingsley Benadir, Lashana Lynch, Tosin Cole, Anthony Welsh, Umi Myers, and James Norton, among many others. Is that still a projection? 52 mil?
No, that was not the projection. That was the actual amount that is made so far.
It made $52 million over Valentine's Day.
Yep. Extended weekend. Yeah.
Wow. And $81 million worldwide since it's opened.
Yep.
Is this right?
Yeah,
The Rotten Tomato score is right?
This is right, yes.
42% critic score and a 93% audience score.
I was just as shocked as you when I saw that.
Ben, I think that's wild. Okay, Kingsley Benadir does an admirable job in the central role, but Bob Marley, One Love is ultimately a standard biopic that doesn't do justice to its brilliant subject. How do I put this? I don't know what I thought, but this was on my most anticipated movies, so I thought that I should talk about it. And I had high hopes for it because there's one other biopic that's coming out, the Amy Winehouse one.
Yes, which I'm excited for.
That's a summer release, actually.
Yeah, May.
Yeah. So insane. Bob Marley, this was supposed to, and I think it did, sweep up over Valentine's Day.
It did. It beat out Madam Web.
We could talk about that after this. I didn't watch it, but we could talk about it. Bob Marley... I think I knew quite a bit about Bob Marley because I did a deep dive on Bob Marley Wikipedia and like Encyclopedia Britannica like a few months ago. And I had no idea that he died so young. I didn't know that he died of like a melanoma in his toe and that he didn't want to amputate his toe for religious reasons and all this stuff. So for some reason... I still came out of this movie and I was immediately looking up like Rastafarianism.
Okay.
I was like, what the hell? I need to know everything there is to know about this because that was really heavy handed in this movie. And the thing is, I just didn't put two and two together that reggae music and Rastafarianism.
Yeah.
They go together.
It's
basically religious music. Yeah.
Gotcha. I didn't know that either.
Reggae music was born out of like this new religion that started in the 1930s in Jamaica. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But also had no idea. So this was, I feel like, a bit of a learning curve and also was not very easy to understand. This story was not told chronologically or linearly. It was a lot of stuff in his younger years was in flashback form. And none of it was particularly compelling. Like, I wanted to know, like, how did he get discovered? Like, who signed him? What did his first album look like? Like, how did that all take shape? Right. And they sort of touched on it, but again, like, I'm not, like, they didn't quite spell it out for me, and I thought I knew quite a bit about Bob Marley. So I was like, it was not the movie that I thought it was going to be, and they went more into the way he felt, like, religious-wise than and obviously the undercurrent of like the politics in Jamaica, which were really volatile at that time, mm-hmm. than necessarily the music.
Mm.
And they told you about his musical legacy in words, like, you know, the words on the screen.
Yeah.
Versus like showing you how the way that he has impacted people.
That's one of my least favorite things that biopics do. Where they basically write out for you, like, oh, this is what happened. And this is, they usually save that for the end.
Mostly. In the beginning of the movie, they had words on the screen and told you, like, Bob Marley's an icon, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why are we doing this now? Mm. Strange. And I don't know. But the performance from Kingsley is really great. It's so bizarre. I thought the movie was kind of weird in that respect.
Mm.
It was typical and atypical of biopics.
What do you mean?
Because because it's unremarkable in the grand scheme of things, like compared to other biopics.
Got it.
You're just like, oh yeah, the Bob Marley biopic. But then when you look closer, you're like, it's so unusual. Like, it's so, like, the tone of it is like, oh.
Huh.
I don't know how to put it. But I understand that 42% critic score. And if you fucking love Bob Marley, I understand that 93% audience score.
Oh, okay. Got it. So would you say it's one of those things where, like, if you are a fan of Bob Marley, you're going to love
it. You're going to see it. Yeah. But like they took, like, there were so many Marleys listed as executive and lesser producers, like just producing. Like the family was extremely involved. Ziggy Marley did an intro saying, like, you know, glad, thank you for coming to the theater. You know, my father and all this stuff, you know, the usual spiel. Yeah. Something a director usually does. Ziggy Marley did it. And that just tells me that they've sanitized a lot of the details of his life. And for instance, I knew that Bob Marley had affairs, that he had other children by other women other than his wife, and that his wife actually had an affair and had a child by another man as well that he formally adopted. And that child was like entitled to his estate and stuff like that. All that I knew before going into the movie, and I was like expecting drama, like I want that, like, walk the line, like, by drama, you know what I'm talking, right, talking right. about, like, where's like mean. The messiness.
And they really didn't touch on
and they anything. Didn't they didn't go into it. They just sort of have you assume, like, Bob Marley's on the phone in London with his wife telling her, like, oh, I need you here, you know, I need you here for the album and stuff, because she's staying backup. And there's this woman who's waiting for him to get off the phone outside. And she's like, they never say her name. They never tell you who she is. And the audience is literally left to assume this is some sort of mistress that he's picked up or is traveling with him.
Oh, okay.
They never have any, there's no sex scenes. There's nothing.
And they didn't touch heavily on that.
No. They just say, like, when they have fights, they had one, like, big fight between them, between Bob Marley and his wife.
Right.
Lashana Lynch, her character. And they talk about their infidelity. But I'm like, why are we talking? Show us where it's a visual meeting. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. That is my.
That is what I mean by. It's unusual because they focus on other things about Bob Marley versus, like, showing us this multifaceted, imperfect person who has touched millions of lives with his music.
And somehow they just don't, they don't make it interesting in the visual art form.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. So, I don't get that from, you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like the family had a lot of say.
Yes, I know they did.
Way too much say. Way too much.
Because if this, and I told my sister this when we walked out, I was like, if this was done without the Marleys involved, we would have had affairs from both parties shown, yes, for on sure. screen.
Exactly.
Plus Oof. Fights about the infidelity.
Also very true.
So it was just disappointing. Like, you kind of walked out and you were like, all right, I guess. Let me go listen to my favorite Bob Marley tracks and try to forget that biopic.
Woof.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So doesn't anyway, seem like it was super great time at the theater there.
It was that last fine. One. It's adequate.
Right.
I'm between 93% and 42%. Like, I'm maybe like 60, 65.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of biopics, because this is something that I don't know, you probably saw, like, the photo that's floating around for an upcoming biopic that's coming out next year. Not even this year, next year, 2025. And it's about Michael Jackson. Did you see that photo?
Boy, did I see it. I saw a photo of Michael Jackson. Then y'all told me it wasn't Michael Jackson.
Apparently, it's his nephew?
Yes.
Jafar Jackson?
Jafar Jackson.
And I was just like, wait, what? That looks very much like Michael
Jackson. But then there's some sort of single. Did you hear a piece of the song?
Yes, I did hear a piece of the song on TikTok. And I was like...
Uncanny.
Yeah. It Uncanny. Sounds just like his uncle. Yeah. It sounds like his uncle.
Yeah.
That is wild to me. Oh, my God. Anyway, that is... I don't know what they're going to do in that one. Because I remember there was the TV movie... of the Jacksons, like, oh boy, back in the day. I remember that. You remember that.
Oh, man, I remember that.
So I don't know what they're going to do here. I wonder if they're going to focus on a certain time period or if they're going to run through his entire life. That's, you know what? I think that's my biggest gripe with biopics. I think that some of these artists are just too big to encapsulate into one movie that's 2 hours, you know, because then you run through, oh, here are the hits. The perfect example of this is the movie Walk Hard with John C. Reilly, which makes fun of all those biopics. It's like they show the song that he got discovered with, and then they show a montage of everything going well.
The montage, yeah.
The montage. And then there's the crack in the facade where he either is abusive or he gets addicted to drugs. Then we see the fallout from getting addicted to drugs. And then at the end, we get that one last hurrah concert where it seems like they made it back, you know? And so then after the movie, in writing, they show what they've been up to and what they're doing now. And so, like, they have made fun of it with that movie, the Dewey Cox story, Walk Hard. And I feel like that's every biopic. I feel like that biopic should just focus on a moment in a career. Like, give us a sample of something that happened in their career that was major and give us something in that moment. You don't have to cover the entire career. Like someone like, for example, Prince, right? He kind of made his own movie with Purple Rain. But like, if you were to make a biopic of Prince, like, I want to see like what it was like making Purple Rain. What went into that? What's that part of it? I don't need the entire career of Prince, you know? Same thing with Madonna. Like, for example, this is just an example. Everything leading up to that very famous MTV Awards performance of her in the wedding dress. Like, that is an iconic moment. What led up to that? How did we get there? Like, I feel like biopics should kind of operate in those zones of, like, here's an interesting moment of this person's career. How did we get there? What led up to that? But instead, everybody kind of goes through the same thing. Oh, this is the song that they were discovered with. And it's like montage of all the greatest hits. And it's like, okay, I could have just, you know, watched like a YouTube video of of the same thing.
Right, no. That's not what happened with Bob Marley. Ugh. That's why I say
it's slightly both, atypical. It's yes, both. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like January and February or Dumpuary, it's kind of living up to his name, kind of. Argyle, Bob Marley not really hitting that well. But American Fiction and Anatomy of a Fall, actually, they were released before
2023.
Yeah, so never mind. So my point still stands.
But I did watch Lisa Frankenstein, definitely a Dumpuary. My goodness, the backlash to Madame Web.
Oh, that's been hilarious. I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. I will not be watching it. But no. Oh, my God. I've had such wonderful times
just
looking at everyone's content.
Yes, it's been.
And hearing everyone's takes about Madame Web. The best one came today, though, when I called my mom to see how she was doing. And she goes, I'm at the movies. I'll call you back later. And I said, oh, my God, what are you watching? She goes, this Web movie. And I said, you're watching Madame Web?
Why?
It's terrible. I've heard it's awful. You should leave now while you can. Like, I was, like, desperate.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't hear from them for 2 hours.
Oh.
So then I get a call. It's my mom. She goes, we just got out. And I was like, okay. Cautious. She goes, we really enjoyed that movie. That was so much fun.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? You're lying.
Yo.
You're lying. They genuinely, genuinely liked Madame Web.
Oof.
I was like, you're pulling my leg, right? And she's like, no. It's better than all those other superhero movies with that trash third act where they just like fight each other, blah, 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 blah. Like she started going off on like the third act, which 100% I see where she's coming from.
Sure, but
I see where she's coming from. But I was like, what do you mean? I was trying to ask questions without getting many details because I didn't want to hear the details of Madame Web. And I was like, please don't go around saying that you like Madame Web.
No.
I was like, don't tell anybody.
You can't be doing that.
Don't say that right in public. Yeah.
No. Oh my God. Yo.
The gasp that I gasped.
I would be the same way. I can't. Oh, wow. I'm not going to watch this movie.
No, me neither.
I'm not watching this movie. Like, the amount of people that I've seen, respected and people that I don't really follow their critiques, but the fact that all of them are just, like, in unison of, like...
Across the board.
This might be one of the worst superhero movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm not excited.
My favorite thing also is Dakota Johnson's press tour, because she's still, like, hitting it hard.
Yeah, she is.
And she does not care.
No, of course not.
She doesn't know what the movie's about.
No, she has no idea.
She doesn't care.
She does not care.
At this point, she doesn't care. She fired her whole team. She's
because she thought she was joining the MCU.
Oh, she thought.
And boy, she was misinformed. She was the Sonyverse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's pretty bad.
That was our February catch-up.
Yes, it was. So, obviously, if this is your first time listening, first off, thank you for, number one, listening. If you've been a fan of the show, thank you for continuing to support us by listening to us. I know we've been on a bit of a hiatus there, but we thank you for coming back. Check out the show on your favorite podcast app, Always the Critic Pod. Go ahead and subscribe there. Check us out on our socials where you can follow us so that way you can see what we're going to be talking about next at Always Critic Pod on all our socials. And if you've done all that, support us through patreon.com/alwayscriticpod. And that way, for as little as $2 a month, little as $2, you can show some support to a show that you enjoy. So thank you so much to everyone who is already a patron. Thank you so much for that. So with that said, this has been our show. I'm Rico.
And I'm Jessica, and this has been the Always the Critic podcast.